Hiya, I'm Amanda Yorworth. It's part of the 92.6 FM Radio Verulam Sustainable Stories Week, which is part of St Albans Sustainability Festival. And today we're going to hear from a whole host of wonderful local people with their sustainable stories. Now, Sir David Attenborough, Swedish schoolgirl Greta Thunberg and Extinction Rebellion have taken climate change right into the news headlines. But what do people here in St Albans think about the environment, about sustainability, about the challenges ahead and our chances of success? What sparked their interest in the environment and what things, big or small, are they doing to help? Now, you're a fantastic bunch and you've got some great stories to tell. It's going to be an emotional roller coaster, but do stick with it. Whilst there's anger and frustration, there's smiles and there's hope as well. Now, we'll hear from all sorts of people, including St Albans resident and BBC presenter Martine Croxall, who not only shares her long-standing concerns about the environment, but tells us some simple but effective changes that she has already made to do her bit to help the planet. Now, this all started with the St Albans Sustainability Festival, so where better to start?
So I'm Catherine Ross. I live in St Albans. I'm a mum of three school-aged children, and I do a lot of stuff locally with Sustainable St Albans and running the Sustainability Festival, and then I work in the environmental sector as well.
And what was your light bulb moment at which you suddenly thought, really, I need to do something about the environment?
I think for a lot of people, it was probably very similar. It was when my firstborn arrived in the world. So she's 15 now. But when you don't have kids, you don't spend so much time thinking about the future. At least I didn't. And then when she was born, and you start hearing the news reports about in 2050, the terrible things that could be happening in the world, and you think, well, that's when she's a grown-up. And wanting the world to be as safe and sustainable for her generation as it had been for mine. And then that feeling got stronger over time as I had my other kids. And just more and more feeling I needed to do more to protect the world for their future, but for all the other children as well, not just for my three, just to, that generation could grow up in a safe world.
And do you find that taking action yourself makes you feel a bit more positive, that it helps to deal with the concerns that you have about the environment?
Yeah, absolutely. That's how I cope with it. I call it the green blues. When thinking about how big the problems are gets overwhelming. The way I cope with that is by getting on and doing stuff. Either getting out in the garden. I grow veg and I find that that's a good way of dealing with the green blues, or otherwise, or you know, the voluntary work that I do with Sustainable St Albans. I throw myself into it and try and make a difference in the optimistic belief that if everyone does their bit, then that's how we'll really turn this around.
And you've said that your children are a large part of your motivation, but do you also think they're concerned about the environment, and for them, seeing you being positive and taking action, do you think it helps them cope with the problem that is the environment as well?
Well, I hope so. I think they're probably more conscious of environmental problems than most kids are, because we talk about them a lot at home, which means they're probably more aware of how difficult the problems are. But then they also are very involved through me and themselves in solutions. Each of mine different days have been on the youth climate strike, and they care passionately about the issues and try and do, you know, what they can as children.
And so they were the start of your sustainable journey. Do you now gain inspiration from listening to them? Do you learn from what they say? Do they actually? Feedback? Do they feed your motivation now?
Absolutely. I mean, just being with them, it reminds you what's at stake, And not just my kids, but I've got so much inspiration from Greta and everything that she's been doing and the youth climate strike.
Greta Thunberg.
Oh, yes, sorry, Greta Thunberg. I just feel that the motivation, the inspiration, the energy that's coming from young people at the moment to deal with environmental problems is really motivating my generation to get on with it. When we went, I took my youngest on the youth climate strike in London, and there was a fabulous placard that said, "It's time to clean up the rubbish. I'll start with my bedroom, you do the world."
That's great.
And I think that is great, and that spirit, that determination is something that we as adults need to take into our work lives and try and do what we can.
And do you have hope at the minute? Have you gained any hope from things like what young people are doing now, things like Extinction Rebellion?
I swing backwards and forwards is the honest answer on that. There are reasons for hope. There's a lot more determination at the moment. It's in the news a lot more. I'm seeing politicians at least declaring a climate emergency is a really important act. But what we now have to see is whether action follows behind that. So there are reasons for hope, and I am a naturally optimistic person. But equally, I'm very conscious because I work in the field of how big the problems are. And so I have other days when I feel much less hopeful.
Yes.
There's a fabulous podcast I listen to called Optimism and Outrage. And I suppose it's holding those two things in balance.
Yeah, a great thought to end on. Catherine, thank you very much. So there I was talking to Catherine Ross, who, as she said, is from Sustainable St Albans. Now, concern for the future of our kids is a common theme, and sometimes this can be a heavy burden.
Hello, my name is Danielle Durant, and I'm St Albans born and bred, and I'm the mother of two teenage boys. And I'm running a business called The Cobbled Kitchen, where I teach people how to cook from scratch, because I think we should all be doing that more often and enjoying it, making it part of our everyday lives. The whole environmental, sustainable thing, I think, goes back to when I was a child, because I do remember hearing about these sorts of things in the 1980s, actually, and wondering when somebody in the know was going to do something about it. And then I think significantly in my 20s, you know, having my first home on my own, that sort of sense of independence, just cooking for myself then, thinking, I wonder where this tin can is going to end up. I wonder where this bag from a loaf of bread is going to end up. And just having a sort of an inbuilt trust that somebody must be looking after those things. And it's only in the last year that we're realising it's all churning up in our oceans and our waterways, and we haven't been paying attention like we should have been, even though all the warnings were there for decades, actually. And it upsets me, it pains me that we're in a crisis situation. It's being called an emergency, and we're upsetting our younger generation. My youngest son, for example, he's actually very, very worried and quite anxious. He feels that the world is going to end and, you know, what's the point of carrying on? Because he doesn't trust us grown-ups. So yeah. We really do have a moral imperative to do something about it.
So is it concern for your children that motivates you to try and do something? Do they find any comfort in your attempts to help?
Yes, they do. And, you know, they see it as making a positive difference. But then when they go back to school and see, you know, other kids just chucking rubbish on the floor, they think, oh, but we're in the minority. So, you know, there's this sort of seesawing of hope and worry at the same time.
Do you think that the recent Extinction Rebellion protests might have changed the balance there a little bit? Now there's more of an acceptability to be concerned for the environment and take action?
Yes, I actually took my youngest to the school strike on the 12th of April, because that one was in the holiday, so it was easier for him to do. I'll be honest with you, I think his reaction was, oh, there are loads of people who are interested in this, and they're all young, but they've all got shaved heads or dyed hair and earrings. And he says, oh, are these my kind of people? So through the eyes of a 13-year-old, you know, it's very interesting. But hopefully the swathe of people and the popularity, it's on our news, radio and television every day now as well. So,
yes.
Again, it is about balancing things with with the positive as well as the negative.
I was just going to say, do you have hope?
Sometimes. It's a difficult one. I'm not sure, to be honest with you.
And is there anything that you do or that other people do that gives you more hope?
I would like to see the other countries. I mean, I think in our country, you know, we've been told that we're only contributing 1% to the world's carbon, and so that might let a lot of people off the hook. But at the moment, it's a fairly middle class thing to do in order to go to the refill pantry or ride your bike into town or whatever. And we can't rely on just that band of people to solve our problems. I would like to see the Chinas and Indias of the world, you know, actually making a bigger difference, and the Americas as well, obviously.
And do you think it's up to us to set a good example?
Yes, I do. I really do. Especially as we were one of the first to sort of get the whole coal industry going. You know, we pioneered it. So I think we have that moral obligation, really, to show that we can also clean it up.
Yeah, indeed. And actually, as you say, perhaps concern for the environment is characterised as a more middle class thing. Perhaps we fall more into that category here in St. Albans. Again, is it down to us to drive things, to set an example, to start things going?
Yes, because who else is going to do it? You know, all praise to anybody who makes any attempts at doing something positive. Doesn't matter who you are. But if it does fall down to us, then we've got to. Yes.
Danielle, thank you very much.
Thank you.
But many of our kids, they're not leaving it to us. They're out there fighting for their own future. Now, I first spoke to Mimi when she was preparing to join the school climate strike. I caught up with her again during the Sustainability Festival Market Takeover. Now, as you can hear, Mimi was part of a huge crowd and there was fantastic energy in the atmosphere.
So, Mimi, I interviewed you as you were about to take part in school strike, and here I am, you're on the high street in St Albans. You've got, on a little sash which says coordinator. What have you been up to?
So, I'm now coordinating Extinction Rebellion Youth Hertfordshire. As a result of Rebellion Week in London with Extinction Rebellion, we decided to set up our own youth group in Hertfordshire, and we've just done our first action as a part of promoting sustainable living as part of the St Albans Sustainability Festival. So this is our first one. It's a demonstration rather than a disruption, because we felt it was important to promote it rather than like disrupt it, as we support the concept. But in the future, we're going to be doing much more disruption.
Okay, so you've just set up the youth group of Extinction Rebellion. And there's quite a few people here. Have you been well received? You've got lots of members?
Already, so there's 91 people a part of our WhatsApp group organising everything. And there is loads of people. There's over 200 people, I think 290 people on our Instagram page. Looking at all of our actions and plans and so on, and so it's just grown hugely. I'm waking up to thousands of messages every morning. So it's been amazing.
Okay. Now you've got a big smile on your face.
Yes.
But we're in a climate crisis now, aren't we?
Yeah.
How's all of this making you feel?
It's making me really angry and really devastated, because I'm aware of us losing precious biodiversity and beautiful species, and I'm angry that people aren't doing anything about it. Right now I'm so happy that we are doing something about it, and that's why I'm smiling. But in reality, when you're alone and you're sitting there and reflecting on the situation we're in, the climate emergency we're in, you realise quite how devastating and quite how atrocious, catastrophic the situation is.
And is that, you think, how most of your the young people here are feeling as well?
Yeah, so we're really aware that it's quite an emotional thing to come to the realisation of, and something that's causing a lot of people a lot of panic. And so we set up a regenerative culture as part of Extinction Rebellion and a regen team to support young people, because we are aware that a lot of young people here feel really angry and really panicked and don't know what to do about it.
Yeah. And you think that joining something like this is at least channeling those really negative feelings into something positive?
It makes you cultivate these feelings and use them in a productive way that actually can cause change. Like, Extinction Rebellion has resulted in our government announcing a climate emergency. And so you can see that these things are causing change. Not enough change yet, but by doing something they can cause that change. And so all those negative and really intense emotions can be put to something productive.
Indeed. I'm sure we're going to hear a lot more from you, Mimi. Thank you.
And all of those young people are often teaching the rest of us a thing or two. Let's hear from a teacher.
Hi Lucy, so you're a teacher. Where are you a teacher?
I'm a teacher at Rickmansworth School. I've been teaching there for 8 years. I've been teaching photography and art and EPQ as well to A-level and GCSE students.
And are the students really aware of the environment? How aware are they?
I mean, I think there's a constant growing awareness. At our school at the minute, we've got a committee looking to sort of work on recycling within school and making sure that we're very aware of the traces that we leave. So from rubbish to actually using more sustainable products, like I was saying to you earlier, sort of plastic sleeves, getting rid of those and see how we can avoid laminating things and resources. You know, just really looking at how we can save the environment just by doing really, really small acts.
And do the students sometimes teach you things about the environment?
Yeah, I'd say so. I'm really, really impressed by one of my students in my Year 9 form group. She's just a real activist. Like, she's very, very passionate. She really knows a lot about Greenpeace, and she's often teaching me a lot of things about sustainable products, and it's just quite an incredible thing. I mean, her mum does work in environment, I can't remember the exact title, but she does do a lot, obviously, and she works alongside of her child. But it's an incredible thing to know that there are parents that are just as actively involved in their education, and then they bring that into school and they can teach us, because we've got a lot to do in terms of obviously schemes of work and our own subjects, that, you know, it's about finding that way of intertwining sustainability into what you do every day.
Excellent. Thank you so much for talking to us.
You're very welcome.
You're listening to 92.6 FM Radio Verulam's Sustainable Stories. It's all inspiring stuff. Stay tuned to listen to hear from some more fantastic people, including BBC presenter Martine Croxall. With the environment hitting the headlines, we're asking how you are feeling about issues like the recently declared climate crisis. So far, we've heard powerful stories of fighting to save the planet for our children, how they are fighting for themselves and along the way, teaching us a thing or two. But compassion isn't everyone's overriding emotion. At the Sustainability Festival Market Takeover, I spoke to Keith.
Hi there, my name's Keith Adsley. I work in St Albans and I live in Hatfield, and I'm a very concerned citizen about the environment and an avid recycler.
Okay, so when did you start to be concerned about the environment? What set you off?
Probably been concerned for at least 30 to 40 years, when the first instances were out there in the public and everybody was kind of poo-pooing it, and governments and corporations knew about it but didn't bother to do anything about it.
So are you feeling a bit better now, that you don't feel like a voice alone in the wilderness? There's other people, there's Extinction Rebellion, David Attenborough.
Oh, absolutely. I'm a huge supporter of Extinction Rebellion and King David, as he should be called. His name's not David Attenborough, he's King David in my mind, or Sir David. Needs a state funeral when he goes. I'm happy it's getting out there in public knowledge, but public are not doing enough. My generation, I'm almost 60, and the generation before have caused the problem. They have overbought. They've been all about consumerism. They've been all about growth. There's only so much you can grow. You know, if you put water into a bucket to grow the amount of water in the bucket, it's going to overflow at some stage, and it's the same principle. So, yes, I'm pleased that it's come on the public consciences, but the people are not doing enough about it. People need to be shocked. I've got friends with small children, and they're still buying plastic in bottles, bottles of single-use plastic and throwing it away. They need to think about their future, their children's future, their grandchildren's future. We're only talking 10 or 15 years before there's going to be a major impact.
So you're very animated when you're talking to me. So all this environmental stuff, the damage that we do, how is it making you feel? Are you angry, depressed?
I'm angry and disgusted. There was a very interesting article in The Guardian you can find online about the link to climate change and mental health, because it's been Mental Health Awareness Week recently, and people are very concerned and they're getting themselves into a state over what's happening. So I am concerned, but I urge people to join Extinction Rebellion. I urge people not to buy single-use plastic. I urge people to think about what they do. Everything I'm wearing today, which you can't see because it's this is a wonder of radio, and I have the perfect face and body for radio, everything that I am wearing is sustainable. From wooden glasses, to a wooden watch, to a woven hat, to a bamboo t-shirt, bamboo shorts, bamboo undergarments, bamboo socks, a hemp shirt, scarf made out of recycled materials, and shoes with recycled soles. So every single thing, even my bracelet, is recycled from the ordnance left over from the horror of the Vietnam War. So yes, I'm passionate. I will keep banging on about. It's not a hobby horse or a high horse I'm on. It's the future, and we need to keep on politely and keep on doing little bits ourselves and just banging on, mainly to the big government and corporations who think it's all about money, and that's the cycle of greed we're in.
So we've got David Attenborough, we've got Extinction Rebellion. Are you feeling a little bit more hopeful at this stage?
I'm feeling hopeful. I think we've got some great youth. We've got youth in the likes of people like Malala Yousaf and Greta Thunberg. If we get more of that youth, then yes, I am hopeful. There's a few more people coming forward, but yes, I'm hopeful.
Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
You're listening to 92.6 FM Radio Verulam's Sustainable Stories. Now, sometimes motivation to try and save the planet comes from the most unexpected places.
Hi, I'm Gail. I'm one of the organisers of the Sustainability Festival, and have been involved with Sustainable St Albans since around 2010 now.
So, Gail, have you always been concerned about the environment?
In fact, no, I haven't, Amanda. I was working very hard in the local authority job for a long while as a senior manager, doing that kind of work that takes it out of you, really does. I didn't have any time for myself or for the world. But in 2009, I had a brain tumour. Was diagnosed. It was a meningioma. They're non-cancerous, benign tumours, but the tumour was in the spinal cord and was seriously affecting my balance and my body. It's what they do. And it was. I was told I had to have. If I didn't have an operation within about 6 weeks, I would. Probably not make it, or would be paralysed from my neck down for the rest of my life. So, had the operation and had a big rethink after that. It took quite a while to recover. The neurosurgeon was fantastic. But after an experience like that, you really have to sit back and think, you know, I've been given a second chance at life. What do I want to do with the rest of this new life that I have? And it was me thinking what was the most important thing in the world that I thought I could spend my time being involved in. And it had to be the environment. It just hit me. It was so clear. I realised that was the way forward. And that's when I started getting involved, learning, researching, doing a lot. I got involved with Transition St Albans and ran a Transition Streets project and got to know the people and started becoming more and more passionate about what I was doing.
So some people in your situation, Gail, might have devoted their life to perhaps fundraising to raise money for the medical charity perhaps associated with your condition. You decided that that wasn't the way, that the environment was even more important than that.
Well, that is a very good way forward, and it was something I considered. I did write a bit for some of the blogs and websites, so I had thought of that. And that would be very important, but it was my experience in my past that did it. My father had been a lifelong socialist, and in the 1980s, he decided to join the Green Party and started talking about environment and land use. And I had no idea what was going on. I really didn't get it then. And it was only kind of later, as I started to put things together, when When I was a young person, I used to, with the family, used to go on holiday to Cornwall, and we used to go down there in the old Austin A35, and it was a stunning, beautiful place, wild, open, empty seascapes. And when I went back there as an adult, something was very different, something had changed. I thought it was me getting older, but it took me a while to realise that actually what was happening was the impact that humans were having on their environment. There were no longer any nighttime pollinators mucking up the windscreen as you went home in the evening. They used to cover the windscreens. And now, if you go back there now as a, well, any time now, you'll find your windscreens are clear in the evening. All the night lively pollinators have gone. The roads are thick with traffic. The people are crowding the beaches. It's not the same place at all. There's plastic coming up on the beaches. So it was that kind of thing. It clicked in my head. This wasn't just time passing. This wasn't just those kind of changes. This was the impact that humans were having on the environment. And it just felt to me that that was what I needed to do.
Right. Now, you've, as you say, you've become in groups like Transition St Albans. Do you think that helps you cope with your concerns? Does it help you to be with other people thinking the same, worrying the same?
Well, I think, yeah, I mean, it has to, doesn't it, when you're involved with a group of people. You feel like you're more part of a movement than an isolated person. So actually doing something actually relieves the anxiety, the grief and the anger that I, like many other people, have about what's happening now. It doesn't take it away, though, Amanda. There is a lot of people who feel that we've left it too late. And other people who say that we don't know what's going to happen in the future. So we have to, you know, if you want to use the best resources that a human being can do, you know, put your energy into doing something active. We don't know what's going to happen, but we do know there might be a chance. There certainly wouldn't be a chance if we didn't act now.
That's a good thought to end on. Gail, thank you very much indeed. You're listening to 92.6 FM Radio Verulam's Sustainable Stories. Now, people from throughout different communities here in St Albans are finding motivation and leading the way to greater sustainability.
Hello, I'm Farah Zia from St Albans. I'm from the Muslim community.
Farah, can you tell me, do you care about the environment?
Of course I do, you know. It means so much to me, you know, this earth doesn't, it's each and every one of our responsibilities to care for the earth.
And was there anything in particular that has inspired you to care like you do?
What particularly inspired me, I have always cared about, you know, recycling. And what really inspired me was last year, watching the film Plastic Ocean. That really inspired me because, you know, what are we doing? You know, yeah. Honestly, when I watched that film, yeah, I was physically shocked.
And which images stick in your mind?
What we're doing to the ocean, what we're doing to the seas, what we're doing to the sea life, you know.
Right.
And because what's happening is us human, we're not seeing all the pollution we're throwing in the ocean and how much damage it's doing to the wildlife.
Okay. Now, so you've said that you were always keen about recycling. Once you'd seen a plastic ocean, how did you change? How did you change in what you did?
Well, I was always very careful about plastic, but there was so much I learned on that day that, you know, we take it so much for granted, you know. What we can do is stop using the plastic so much, you know. And what I done, I certainly made a lot of changes in my household, you know. I had always used the carrier bag. I had used always the
a reusable carrier
bag, you know.
Yes.
But I tried to use less and less plastic, and especially going to the supermarket, I try not to buy fresh vegetables or fruit in plastic container. So what I do is I always, you know, select something which is not in plastic bag.
Okay.
But it's really hard because I've got a younger member of family living with us, and I notice whenever they go out shopping, they always come back with plastic.
And does that upset you?
It does. I feel that younger generation needs to be educated more. And I think it's great that what David Attenborough has done, you know, it's raising that awareness. But we have to keep on doing it, you know, within our community. You know, you start from your house first, then you work in the community. And then, you know, you look around the whole of, I feel where it's really important in the whole of St. Albans district that we look at how, you know.
Indeed. So you still have family in Pakistan, am I right there?
Yes,
and
I do.
And you visited there recently. So your sort of perspective on the environmental damage that we're doing on the world is perhaps bigger than most. Tell us what you found when you returned to the village.
I come from a small village called Baffa in Khyber Pakhtun side of Pakistan, which is north frontier of Pakistan. And we live in a beautiful village, and it's surrounded by mountain, and we live in a valley. And obviously the population has grown over the years, but what I saw there is we don't have a rubbish collection regularly, so there's people, they just dump their rubbish in every street corners and thing like this. But what I saw was the carrier bags everywhere, and I just wanted to roll up my sleeve and go out and start picking all these carrier bags up, you know, because I told my family members that it takes hundreds of years for this paper bag to dissolve. What are we doing to our earth?
So these family members who are living in Pakistan, and what did they say? Are they motivated to do something about it?
No, they don't know. They don't know very much about them. To them, everything comes in a plastic carrier bag.
Okay. And how did this make you feel? Did it make you feel that the efforts that we are making here in England, in St. Albans, are a bit of a waste of time if in the rest of the world things like this are going on? Or did it make you motivated that we have to get the word out there?
No, it's not wasted here. It's what we learn here is what we can share with other people who don't know. Because education is about learning process. And what we're doing in St. Albans, what Sustainable St. Albans is doing, is an excellent initiative. And that's what we got to copy, this role model. Yes, I'm from Pakistan, but maybe when I go for my next summer holiday out there, this is something I like to go and talk to them about it.
That would be fantastic, is it? Spreading
of
the news and the action we're taking throughout the world. Could I just ask you about one more element? You're a British Muslim. How does care for the environment fit in with your faith?
Our faith is always telling us that you have to, environment is really important. The Mother Earth, we have to care for, and we have to preserve it for future generation. It's not just for us to use it and lose it. It's for them. It's to preserve it for our future generations.
And is that what you hope to do? You've talked about younger members of your family. Is that your motivation taking you forward, thinking about caring for the planet for them?
Of course.
Indeed. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
You're listening to 92.6 FM Radio Verulam's Sustainable Stories as part of the St. Albans Sustainability Festival. So far, we've heard about the trauma of being a mother to a child overwhelmed by the size of the climate crisis, the shame of being part of a generation that you feel has trashed the planet, and the inspiration that can come from life-threatening illness. Now let's hear about some people who are not just trying to do their bit at home, but have moved to jobs that enable them to take positive action to help the planet.
Hi, I'm Cam Ross. I'm a father of three teenage children. I live here in St Albans, and I am passionate about music, about running and technology.
So, Cameron, what started your green journey? When did you first think, oh, I should care a bit more about the environment?
I guess it's been gradual, Amanda. As my wife has been very active in the environmental movement in St Albans, and also as my children have got more aware of the environment too. I don't want this to sound too cheesy, but I literally woke up one morning and I thought to myself, how would I respond if my children asked me in, let's say, 20 years, Dad, what did you do to help the environment?
Yeah, yes, big question, isn't it? So what difference did that make to you then? What did you start doing?
I think it made me actually reassess what I was doing for work. I have a background in technology, in IP, and I worked at that time 5 days a week for a technology business based over in Hemel. And what it made me see was that I could actually take some of those skills that I had built up over 20 years working in technology and in IP and apply them to the environmental sphere. It didn't need to be applied to the existing business. And so what I've done over the course of the past few years is actually rebalance my working life away from a pure technology business and using those same skills in the environmental space.
So there's a lot of warnings about bad things happening to the environment at the moment. What gives you hope? What keeps you going?
I think I'm really enthused by the campaigning movements that have become so active in the past year. We look at Greta Thunberg, we look at the Extinction Rebellion movement. I'm just so thrilled that the campaigning groups have managed to push environmental sustainability and activism higher and higher up the agendas of the politicians. And although we might say that the UK declaration of a climate emergency just very recently might be just a label on a sheet or might be just a headline, I actually think it sends a fantastic message to all those groups that their messages are being taken more seriously over time.
And this motivates you to do more? You hope that other people will get hope from this?
Absolutely. I think it's let's say, not too cheesy to say that environmental sustainability starts at home with people's individual actions. And I see that I'm really glad to see other people joining in as these groups and movements become much more widespread.
Cameron Ross, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
So some hopeful words there from Cameron. Let's hear from somebody else who, again, has taken trying to help the environment into their work life.
Hi, I'm Jill Watson, and I run the Phase Out Plastic market stall on St Albans Market on a Wednesday.
And Jill, tell me what got you started thinking about the environment.
Well, it was quite easy for me, to be honest, because I was brought up on a farm. And so as a farmer, in a farming environment, you're very aware of the environment and the impact that practically everything has on it.
OK. And was there anything in particular, any moment at which you thought, oh, my goodness, I need to do something?
Well, I studied at university. I did biology and environmental conservation. And at that point in time, everything was kind of relatively new. Everything was kind of focusing on, you know, big environmental problems that, you know, were on the news or things like that. And it seemed very, very distant. And then kind of over the years, being a mum, kind of, you know, thinking of the impact of, you know, bringing your family up and things like that, it's just become a bit more day to day responsibility of, like, you know, you're teaching your kids about what to do and kind of, you know, have to talk about it a little bit more on a, you know, lead by example kind of way.
Yeah. So how do you manage it? You've obviously know a lot about the environment and, you know, and there's so much negative stuff out there. How do you manage to stay positive?
Well, I think it kind of you've just got to think about how you yourself manage to help kind of bit by bit and making the right choices. I think it's a very gradual change. I think you can't really think about the bigger picture every single day because it would be quite depressing, especially in the current statistics that are out at the moment of, you know, we've got 11 years basically to, you know, change the climate and then it's going to take 80 years to put things right. You can't just focus on that. You've got to think about what we can start doing now. And so start with the very small things at home. You know, start with the no-brainers. Just kind of change the single-use plastics. And just kind of then, as you become more aware of the smaller things, you'll become aware of, like, what other things you can do, influencing people and buying certain things and using certain companies for certain, you know, products, et cetera, et cetera. So it's kind of just mixing and matching of the small with the big, really.
Okay, so just starting taking those first steps, yeah, and then, you know, getting more informed and, yeah, moving on from there. And do you find it helpful talking to other people, people locally, who feel, yeah, the same as you?
I feel it very helpful, actually. I mean, it's brilliant on a Wednesday because I have lots of people that come over that have so many ideas and things of their own that they've done and things that they want to share with me that I can then pass on to the customers. And it makes you feel like, you know, people are making a real effort to make these changes, and that, you know, this kind of almost you know, the bigger changes obviously need to be, the pressure needs to be put on corporates and government, etc., etc., and it feels like there's a real feeling of that growth of people getting behind that as well. So yeah, it's good.
Excellent. And when you talk to other people and they're doing things, does that give you hope for the future?
It does. I think especially over the last, I would say, probably 6 months or so, the feeling has gone very much from we should care for the environment and we should be more sustainable to now we have to do it. The message has changed quite significantly over the last few months. And I think people are actually taking that on board. They're really thinking, OK, it's affecting every single household now and all the kids. I mean, to be honest, that's the thing that makes me feel most kind of enthusiastic about it. You know, the teenagers and the kids that come over, they know all about these issues and they are keen to make these changes. And that then, you know, it's the kids that come over and ask their parents, you know, can I have some of these metal straws, or, you know, can I have one of these, or can I have one of these? So that's the thing that's going to really make the difference, I think.
Yeah, so the kids, the kids who hope, they, yeah, are the future, and they give you hope for the future,
exactly,
as well.
Exactly.
Jill Watson of Phase Out Plastic, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're listening to Sustainable Stories here on 92.6 FM Radio Verulam. Now, for some of us, our job takes us into contact with the scientists who are delivering the message about the havoc we're wreaking on the environment. So to finish off with, let's hear from one of them.
I'm Martine Croxall. I live in St Albans. I'm a presenter with the BBC News Channel and I'm a fellow of the Royal Geographical Society.
Martine, do you remember when you first realised that as humans we're damaging the planet in an unsustainable way?
Yeah, about 40 years ago. I must have been about 10. And it was in geography lessons and we started talking about climate change and global warming and what the impact could be, and how weather patterns would be affected and that there could be more extreme weather events. I've been talking about this a really, really long time. And I suppose that's why sometimes I can feel a bit bleak about the prospects, because it feels like we've known that this is a problem for a very long time, and yet we don't seem to have made as much progress as we really need to have done.
And you went on to study geography. Was that concern for the planet part of your decision to do that?
Now, there's an interest in why the planet is like it is. I focused on human geography in the end, but of course you always do physical geography too, which included meteorology, geomorphology, biodiversity, biogeography. And I love being outside. I love being outdoors. The best part of my day is walking the dog in the Hertfordshire countryside, and it's so beautiful and so necessary to us all that I think we'd all try to protect it as much as we can. And also, you know, I was just at Jersey Farm this morning at the nature reserve there, and it's hard to believe when you're standing in the middle of that with all the buttercups in flower and birds swooping around and tweeting in the hedges and the trees that there's a problem, because it looks so beautiful and so pristine and so well looked after. But of course, that's just a small part of the planet, which seems to be in good health at the moment.
I mean, as part of your job, you speak to a lot of climate experts, experts on biodiversity. What's the message you're consistently receiving from them?
They always say that the politicians on whom we rely for policy and decision making are not moving fast enough, pretty much in most parts of the world. So I said, well, if we're waiting for the politicians to do the right thing, what can we do? And they always say, do something, even if you don't know where to start, make a start. Make small changes, make them permanent changes. And the two things that they really always stress are use your car less, switch to an electric car if you can, and turn your heating down, which I always do. My children complain about it every winter because they would rather not put an extra layer of clothing on. They'd rather turn the heating up, but I go around turning it down all the time.
So you're actively trying to do your bit to help the environment, and you don't feel you get that same support from the next generation who are going to suffer the consequences more?
I don't feel I do, no. And I suppose because I'm that generation, my parents were born during the Second World War. They grew up with rationing. They were very thrifty, never really threw anything away, always recycled stuff before the word recycling was even coined. And I grew up with that. And I hate waste. And I don't like throwing food away. So I always buy the food that I need for the week. And I plan very carefully and I throw very little away. And if I do, I compost it. And I try and grow bits and pieces of my own fruit and vegetables in the garden. But my children at the moment show very little interest, though I am assured that all the things they're seeing me do, they will probably, when it's up to them, when they have their own home, they will pick up some of those things. But somebody reminded me a few weeks ago about a Jean-Paul Sartre quote, which is, once you know something, you can't unknow it. And so if you know that something that you're doing or buying is unsustainable, can you really keep justifying it to yourself that you're doing it? Because you know in your head that there's probably a better way. So there are a few things that I decided to do and make small changes and try and stick to them. The first one was change my gas and electricity supplier to a green energy supplier. Happened to be the cheapest option as well, which is even better. We drink a lot of fizzy water, and I realised that I was carting a lot of plastic bottles backwards and forwards to the from the supermarket and then to the recycling centre, or the bin men would take it away every fortnight, and my bin was really full of all of these bottles, and I thought there's got to be a better way of doing it. So I decided to stop buying those, and instead I've bought myself an old-fashioned soda siphon that you would have seen on a cocktail table in the 1950s. It's not branded. It's not expensive to get the little gas cartridges. They're metal. They can be more easily and readily recycled. And the amount that you're throwing away is tiny in comparison. I've changed all the light bulbs in my house. It cost me, I think, about £40 to go to the LED sort. So they don't get hot and they last for ages and they use much, much less electricity. And I'm really noticing the difference in my bills. So there's a benefit to me doing it, as well as hopefully for the environment.
Brilliant. So you've said that you're not sure about your kids. You've said that you speak to a lot of experts who are very negative. Do you have much hope for the future?
A lot of the time I don't feel that I do, but then because I work in news, a lot of the stuff we report is really negative, and it's very easy to get a rather sort of skewed and bleak view of the world and humanity. So you have to try and remember that those events are unusual, because that's why you're reporting them. It wouldn't be news otherwise. So I suppose that certain things like David Attenborough's programme, the Blue Planet, that the BBC made, and that one episode at the end about the plastics in the ocean, and I was reading only yesterday that a dive deep into the Mariana Trench found a plastic bag, which is just heartbreaking and soul-destroying. However, the response around the world to that Blue Planet programme in the reduction of plastics and how we tackle our plastics use shows that we can make quite big strides very quickly when we're shown the right information by the right person. I mean, and you look at the plastic bag use in supermarkets as well these days. Morrison's now, of course, where I shop a lot of the time. You put your vegetables into a paper bag, which is hugely more satisfying to do. It even feels nice. And we've really reduced the amount of plastic bags that we have. In fact, to the point where I sometimes can't find a plastic bag in my house, even when I really need one for a muddy pair of football boots or something like that. So I think we can make a difference when we put our minds to it. And I think if we all do something small, you have that multiplier effect, don't you, where you will start to see a difference. But we have actually got to do it. We've got to accept, I think, and this is the difficult bit, that life is going to have to change. That some of the things that we took for granted, we're probably going to have to let go.
That's probably right, isn't it?
Yeah.
But as you say, if we all do little changes, this all builds up, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I've also started trying to walk quite a bit more, and not even take the tube or a taxi or a bus. If I can walk, and then of course that benefits me as well, and yeah. I've increased my step count that day, and it's a nice way to decompress.
Well, which is right. So as you say, life will have to change, but not all in bad ways.
No, not all in bad ways. And the idea of holidaying in this country more. I do holiday abroad and I do fly. But I'm quite keen on the idea, I suppose, of seeing more of our own country, because there's so many beautiful places.
It always surprises you, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it really does. Yeah. So there's a little bit of hope there then.
Yes, there's got to be. Hope dies last, they say, don't they? Wow. And you look around and there's also... People are incredibly ingenious. To have got us to this point where we have this in many parts of the world, not all, of course, but many parts of the world have these luxurious lifestyles where technology has enabled us to live the lives we live. We can also reverse some of the damage that we've caused, hopefully, through that ingenuity.
That's a positive thought to leave. Martin, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
So a big thank you to everyone who has contributed to today's programme for sharing something really special with us. Do listen in to Radio Verulam's Environment Matters every Wednesday evening for lots of great environmental stories. And if you've got any comments or you've got a story, then drop me a line, amanda@radioverulam.com. For today, thank you for listening.